Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology and free shipping on everything. Again, that's Dell.com/deals. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm the best ever.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Whatever you're doing, you need to take it and rip it up and throw it out.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We got to start with the fact that Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are fighting.
Shocking.
Where the hell did this come from?
I mean, it's been in the works for some time now. Yeah.
Earlier on the show, six-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Fletcher Cox. Still to come, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're monitoring the situation. By the way, wouldn't that be a great name for like our house band if we had a house band? You know,
monitoring the situation.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, hey, everybody, come to this. You know, come to this local bar. Me and my guys, we're performing, monitoring the situation. We're going to be doing a bunch of cover songs.
I like it.
You know what I mean? Just throwing that out there. Sounds like that. Or is that a better name for like our racehorse?
Too long.
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
Three
too many
words?
Syllables.
Yeah, too many syllables. And down the stretch
monitoring the situation. Okay. Yeah. How many was American Faroa? It's a lot. You gave it one extra syllable because it was American
Faroa.
But if it's American Pharaoh, you're the one who gave it the extra syllable.
Well, spell your horse's name.
American Faroa.
You know
what I mean? Anyway, we're monitoring the situation 2 hours plus into NFL negotiating free agency. Some call it a frenzy. So, great chat with Fletcher Cox last hour. And joining us right now to make heads or tails of the Denver Broncos and what they're up to, and they're right in the middle of it, sending off two offensive stars to the AFC North over the last 24 hours. Pittsburgh now home to Russell Wilson, Cleveland home to Jerry Jeudy, Mark Schlereth home to the NFL on Fox, and a lot of Super Bowl rings. Good to see you, Mark Schlereth. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Rich. Good to be with you, buddy.
Good to see you. Are those dog treats in that jar over your left shoulder? What do we have right there? What do we have in that?
I have no idea. Listen, man. I just live here occasionally. I don't know anything that goes on inside this house. I have no. That is like there's new stuff all the time. I'm like, oh, that's great.
Okay, well, you know where the helmets then behind you came from. You don't know about the books, maybe. All right, very good. Let's get into it, man. Why is Russell Wilson no longer on the Broncos, Mark?
I think that I think sometimes when you look at statistics and people will say, well, 26 touchdowns versus 8 interceptions, they'll look at those things and say, well, he had a pretty good season. And ultimately, I get where people get confused about, what makes a successful season. And those stats would lend itself to you believing he was successful. But when you look deeper into the way he played, into just the season in general, there were so many things that were missing. And, he's one of the worst quarterbacks in football when it comes to throwing people in the middle of the field, intermediate routes. He threw more balls behind the line of scrimmage than any quarterback in football, I think, since 2005. I mean, it just was when you dig deeper into the coaches' film, there's so many things that are inadequate. And let's not forget, this is not only the first, this is the second team that have basically said, we're going to take a quarterback who's in his quarterbacking prime, and we're going to eat $111 million in dead cap money because we don't want to be associated with them anymore. And that's Seattle and Denver. So there's a lot of things that on the surface, when you dig deeper, that he just doesn't do very well. And ultimately, that's why he is now in Pittsburgh.
And there's a lot of sacks that he's taken as well. And I know, like, the number of times we'd see cutaways to Sean Payton after the sacks. But that said, it's just tough to wrap your head around the fact that Russell Wilson needs to compete for a job with a kid in his third year of his career who really hasn't proven much other than the fact he played well for Pittsburgh. And by that, I mean collegiately. And then for about, what would you say, 4 to 6 weeks at the end of his rookie season, and he's entering year three. It's tough to wrap your head around that, Mark, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. And I think that people look at what happened, you know, over a decade ago with the Seattle Seahawks. Listen, in Pittsburgh, and I said this a couple months ago when they got Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator, that's the best landing spot for Russell Wilson. You have an elite level defense like they did in Seattle. You have if you can create a run game like Arthur Smith did in Tennessee when Ryan Tannehill took over, and obviously Derrick Henry was just an absolute beast, but they had a great offensive line as well. When you do all those things, I mean, in the play action game, the boot keep game, there's two types of play action. I differentiate play action. I look at the run action play action, right, which is really hard run, fake, boot keep out the backside, create a linear progression where receivers are right there, one, two, and three, in your sight level. Like, that's the run action play action. Then there's a play pass where you're keeping seven guys in protection. You're dropping back, seven-step drop. You're at about 11 yards, and you're really running two-man routes. You know, post with an over, and whichever way the safety plays, if he plays the deep post, you throw the over. If he plays the over and sucks in, you throw the post. Like those are things that he can do, and he can still throw the deep ball well. But in the middle of the football field, seeing receivers in the middle of the football field, throwing with anticipation, throwing guys open, that's those things he never has really done well. And the last couple of years, it's been awful. He's been flat awful here.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why isn't Jerry Jeudy a Bronco anymore?
Because he's not a good football player. He's an exceptional athlete. And there's a big difference between being a great athlete and a good football player. And when you look at Jerry Jeudy, there's a lack of, you know, there is obviously he's got a skill set, and the guy, you know, is obviously an exceptional athlete, but he doesn't get involved in the running game. When he's not the primary target, he doesn't draw coverage. So he doesn't do some of the things that are required for you to be a good football team. And I think that's the one thing we get, because talent is easy to see. That's like the NFL draft and the combine. And you do a great job, by the way, Rich.
Thanks,
I watch a bunch of the combine stuff. But the problem with the combine and athletic skills is athleticism is the easiest thing in the world to see. I can see a great athlete, right? I can see guys who can run and jump and do all those things. It doesn't necessarily equate to being a great football player. And then also when you talk about team, and this is what I love about just the National Football League in general, is that to be a great team, you have to have guys that are willing to sacrifice one another for one another. And the key to winning championships is when you care more about the guys you play with and you care about yourself. Like, that's the key to winning championships at this level. And Jerry Jeudy has not displayed that he can do any of those things. Like, when he doesn't get the ball, he complains, he whines about it, he cries about it, and he's dropped a ton of balls over the course of his career here. He's just not a great football player. He's an exceptional athlete. And you would hope, like for me, my hope would be that being traded as a former first rounder and only getting a fifth and sixth rounder in return, that would be something that would be a wake-up call for you. But if you don't ever take responsibility for the fact that you really didn't produce and you're a first-round bust in Denver, if you're not going to take responsibility for that, then my thought process is, why would you ever take responsibility if it's, you know, if you're a victim and it's everybody else's fault? Then do I think he's going to have success? No, I hope he does. I hope he looks at himself critically and says, man, I've got to be better at X, Y, and Z. But so far, there's nothing in his career that would tell me he would do that.
In the meantime, Cortland Sutton took to, and this is a 21st century way of trying to read tea leaves, obviously, when you're looking at Instagram accounts and Twitter accounts. Instagram, he was wondering what was up with letting Jerry Jeudy go. And then on his Twitter account, he removes They're saying he's playing with his emotions at this point. Twitter account, he removes the Broncos from there because I guess he's maybe getting rid of, he says, what's next? What advice would you give him, knowing Sean Payton and perhaps a little insight on what the plan is there?
Yeah, well, I think that ultimately when you're in a full teardown, and I agree with the full teardown, I mean, you've been putting Band-Aids on gaping wounds here for 8 years. So I agree with the full teardown. And when that's the case, you know, you got to be ready to move on. For Courtland Sutton, he's got to be ready to move on because I think it's only a matter of time before he's no longer on this roster as well. And I think one of the big problems with teams that are perennial losers, remember, like the Denver Broncos were a crown jewel in the National Football League. They are no longer relevant, and they haven't been for quite some time. And there's not one guy that's been drafted since 2015 that has ever tasted. There's not one guy on this team that was in a draft pick that's ever tasted the playoffs. It's not one. And I think one of the problems when you have losing issues within a franchise, there are guys that are part of that franchise that think they, you know, are working hard, that think they're preparing, that think they're studying, that think they're really doing this, but they don't have the knowledge of what it really is required to be great in this league. And so you think you're doing things, you think you're sacrificing, you think you're doing all these things, and you're really not even close. And so that's another part of the purge here that's going on that I think is imperative. I think it is time to, like I said, clean house, rip off the Band-Aids and, you know, go in a different direction, because what they've done here and the draft picks that have been made previously, I mean, there are a couple of players walking away in free agency from not having anybody from the 2018, the 2019 and the 2020 draft class on their roster. Mm. I mean, that's just, I mean, it's pathetic.
Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champion here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what do you think is Sean Payton's plan, 12th overall here, and how does it play into the quarterback plan? What would you counsel here?
Yeah.
Mark?
Well, I think for me, I look at a guy like Sam Darnold. And if you could do a Baker Mayfield deal with a guy like Sam Darnold, who, you know, came in and it's funny, I did the last two games in San Francisco for Fox and talked to Sam Darnold probably for 40 minutes on the field in those two games. Talked to Kyle Shanahan back-to-back weeks. You know, Sam Darnold walked into a situation where he had to compete. There was Trey Lance and there was also Brock Purdy there. Knew that he had opportunities elsewhere for more money, for a chance to start, knew that that probably wasn't going to happen. But Kyle Shanahan said this. He went to the Jets. He was drafted to the Jets. Jeremy Bates was the offensive coordinator that was trying to run the Peyton Manning offense because of his relationship with Peyton and his time with Peyton. And he goes, there's one person in the world that can run the Peyton Manning offense, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's the only one. So you take a rookie with the Jets and try to put him into that situation. And then he went to Carolina, and you're running a collegiate type of offense in Carolina. He said the first time he was ever exposed to a legitimate progression offense was the last eight games or so when Steve Wilkes took over and Ben McAdoo became the offensive coordinator. And so he went to San Francisco simply to say, hey, man, I need some football rehab, and I need to learn the NFL game as opposed to the college game. And so I just see the maturity there. I see a guy who's unbelievably skilled, arm talent, athleticism, all those things. I see a guy that has a chance to me to rectify kind of where he was drafted and the fact that it didn't work out in the first couple of stops.
Do you go ahead and choose a quarterback 12th overall if they're sitting there, if it's McCarthy or it's Penix, if you do the Darnold thing? Mark?
Yeah, I think McCarthy for me is one of one in that he's the only guy in this draft class. College football is really hard for me to watch. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about college football is there's this static formation aspect, 2x2 formation, 3x1, 4x1, whatever, but it's very static. There's not a lot of motion. There's not a lot of pre-snap, you know, responsibility at the quarterback position. And then you're really eyeballing one guy, where's my best matchup? I'm going to throw it to that guy. And if that guy doesn't get open, then I'm going to scramble around and make something big happen. And, you know, it's no fault of college football or the kids that play it. it's just, you know, because of the NCAA and the lack of time you have to actually study the game, I think that's what it's morphed into. That's what it's become. J.J. McCarthy is one of one when it comes to being on the line of scrimmage. To me, seeing different personnel groupings changing with shifts or fly motions, changing the strength, redirecting traffic, you know, being in charge at the line of scrimmage like an NFL quarterback is in charge of the line of scrimmage. And I think that's probably why he shot up draft board. So if he was there, it wouldn't surprise me if Sean Payton would go in that direction. But if it's the rest of the guys, I wouldn't count out them trading back in this draft. They don't have a second rounder. See if they can get back, still get a really good football player, and then try to accumulate another draft pick along the way.
Well, and based on what you just said about college football, do you think the Bears should still go for Caleb because he's so seemingly unicorn-like, or stick with Justin Fields?
Right,
Mark. What do you think?
I think they'll go that route, and I think that's probably the right route to go with Caleb Williams. Again. Like the one thing that you can really identify when you're evaluating college quarterbacks is athleticism. Like arm talent and athleticism are the two things you can really, you know, that you can really evaluate. I mean, the rest of the time, I mean, think about it. You looked at the sideline. Everybody looks at the sideline. They line up in a static formation. And, you know, you've got barn rooster chicken on two. Let's go, you know, and you look at the card and that's what you're running. I mean, so there's so many things that you have no idea what a guy can and can't do based upon the way they run offense in the college game. I think it's one of the reasons that Jim Harbaugh won a national championship. Let's just go out and bludgeon people with 90s style football because nobody plays it and nobody can probably defend it. And you know, I think you probably kind of take that formula to just about anywhere in the nation and could have a lot of success doing that.
All right. Before I let you go, again, I'm looking at your remarkable background. I don't see a crystal ball, but I'm going to ask you to use one figuratively anyway. Your week one starter in Pittsburgh is going to be who, Mark?
I think it'll be Russell Wilson.
You do.
I just don't think there's, you know, there'll be a competition there, but I think Russell, based on, and this really goes back to my belief in Arthur Smith and what he did in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill. I think that's the direction they'll go. So I think Russell will win that competition.
Meaning why? Because Russell is mobile. I mean, you know. Because you know Tomlin, and you know whatever conversations he had with Russ over the weekend weren't like wink wink. There's no wink wink with Tomlin.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, so when they say there's going to be a competition, and they will, there's going to be one. And Pickett is a talented, albeit inexperienced, third year player who needs to prove himself.
Right.
I think, again, it does appear to be the case. We won't have it handed to him. And we all know, as you pointed out, whatever Russ's limitations are at age 35 and to age 36, they are. I mean, I think there's going to be a real competition, Mark.
Oh, I think it's going to be real as well. But I think that Arthur Smith will create an offense based on the run game, based on multiple tight ends, based on heavy personnel, based on, you know, anytime you get in those type of offenses, you're gonna create a middle of the field closed, a single high safety situation, which gives you access one-on-one to the outside. Like whether it's cover one or cover three, when you have a single safety in the middle of the football field, you've got access to the outside. Meaning you're one-on-one. Any vertical route is gonna be one-on-one because you cover one and cover three become the same thing. So there's nobody in my mind that throws a better deep ball than Russell Wilson. So in those situations, you know, if you've got an off corner, you can throw the hitch. It's an easy read. It's easy to do. And I think Arthur Smith will create an offense in which Russell can survive and Russell can thrive in that style of offense. And I think he'll be better at that than Kenny Pickett will be. But, you know, I do believe I'm 100% with you. There will be a legitimate competition there.
Mark, appreciate the time, brother. Really.
Anytime, Rich. Take care, buddy.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, every time you call, I come on.
And I do appreciate that, Mark. You're the man. Yeah. You're the man. You be well.
Thanks, Rich. Take care, buddy.
That's the great Mark Schlereth, nice. NFL on Fox, three-time Super Bowl champ right here. All right, so he thinks Russ is going to win the competition. We have breaking news on the running back front, and not one of those, you know, breaking news and we'll tell you some guy who's like a third stringer signed somewhere. This is the real deal, and we've got Overreaction Monday still to come right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare move, certainly if you're a Green Bay Packer fan. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Taking a 747 and driving it into a building. Did you really do that? Happened?
Yes, we did. Christopher? We really did it. We looked at doing it with miniatures and CG and set builds and everything. And when you added up all those numbers, it occurred to us that it might actually be cheaper to buy a real plane. originally, we had our eye on like a 737, something like that.
Yes.
And we went out to the... the airplane graveyard of where we could buy an old 737. And while we were looking at the 737s, I started looking across the field. You could see these MD-11s and 747s. And I sort of thought, and I said to the line producer, well, hang on a second, why can't we get one of those big ones? Let's if we're going to do it. I actually had the unique experience of impulse buying a 747. And then getting to crash it.
Before I let you go, what is your remote drop movie, Christopher? Wherever you're watching television and you see a film is a favorite of yours, or you just don't mind binging it, even if it's not yours, obviously. Which one is it? Just a fan of film?
I haven't heard the remote drop as a phrase. That's a fantastic one.
There you go.
I love it. And there are so many. I mean, I think by Kubrick, it's a remote drop. But some of the great comedies, too. And I mean, Talladega Nights, I'm never going to be able to switch that off.
Okay, now then. Really?
What?
The Ballad of Ricky Bobby is a Christopher Nolan mic drop movie. Is that what you're saying?
If you ain't first, you're last.
You're not wrong, Christopher. You're not wrong. That's fantastic. Does Will Ferrell know this? Did you just reveal that?
He does now.
Well, Christopher Nolan wasn't last night. It's just it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Aaron Jones is one of our favorite guests here. We had him in studio when he was just beginning to show up and show out for the Green Bay Packers. And he's been on multiple times over and over and over again as the two-way threat coming out of the backfield for the Green Bay Packers. And to keep Rodgers happy and for them keep them in the end zone through the running back position too. Remember, they put his contract on the credit card in a way that they normally don't. A lot of folks wondering if Aaron Rodgers is going to stay with Green Bay after an occasionally injury-marred season, right? I mean, he didn't, but towards the end of the he was a crucial aspect of the offense with Jordan Love finding all those young receivers that a lot of people started picking up like crazy on their fantasy waiver wires. And so now there's breaking news on the running back front. Out of Green Bay. Mike, I need that drop. Please hit it.
Breaking news.
Boom! What's up, Chris Brockman? What's up?
The Green Bay Packers are signing Josh Jacobs.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Jeez. So the Raiders lose Josh Jacobs. I guess, does that mean it's the Zamir White show now?
Seems like it.
Because trust me, I picked him up in fantasy towards the end of the season. He helped me to my fantasy finals.
He was a bell cow. But I don't know if are they just going to go into the season with him as the main running back? Maybe they will. I don't know. But do we know the terms and figures and dollars? Are we around the pride, to use the Dan Patrick phrase?
We are, haven't been there yet. Haven't seen anything.
What does that mean for Aaron Jones? Does that mean he's out and it's him with A.J. Dillon, or Dillon's out too? Are they going to remake the – that's such an un-Green Bay-like move, right?
Pretty shocking.
You draft and pay your own. You don't really jump out in the free agent market, but
yeah, I mean, even
Josh Jacobs even to Ian, Green Bay.
Even Ian Rappaport called the move stunning.
It is. It's so unlike Gutekunst.
Says they have worked with Aaron Jones on a new deal.
Okay.
Said Ian, in the market for a running back, and obviously they got one. No word if Aaron Jones is coming back.
Wow.
Looks like they're trying. That'd be a nice two-headed monster.
What? Jacobs
used to
and,
doing
and
two
Aaron
running
Jones?
Back, so, yeah. You know,
Jacobs and Aaron Jones probably gone. Would be nice. I would imagine A.J. Dillon is now gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or you keep Dillon as the Thunder and Josh Jacobs is the guy that gets stronger as you get more carries.
That's
like,
true, too.
He's the dude that just runs you over on carry 20 through 25. Like, remember I came out on this show and people were saying I was crazy? Don't answer that yet.
Ooh, I mean, it depends on which.
Remember I said Josh Jacobs looked to me like Zeke? You know what I mean? Like, he had that Zeke sort of look to him. He just run you over and keep on coming at you. Wow.
All right, Del Tufo, you got to hit it.
Oh, you got another one?
Breaking news.
Boom! Jeez. What do you got?
According to Mike McCartney.
Uh-oh, this is Kirk Cousins news.
Yeah. Scouting director, blessed to rep the people at Vanier Sports. Kirk Cousins to the Falcons.
Here it is.
Four-year deal.
This is it. It's happened. Four-year deal for Kirk Cousins to go to the Atlanta Falcons. Oh,
my text Eric real
goodness.
Quick.
I feel like this is the moment of free agency, like the fugitive, where we're calling up the marshals and leaving the phone right there because we just found a big piece, and Kirk is the one armed man. We're just leaving that phone right in Cousins' house off the hook, so they can just GPS it, and get in there, because this is the big move. This is the big move of the Atlanta Falcons going ahead and getting Kirk Cousins to come to Atlanta and be the guy to try and bring Arthur Blank the Super Bowl. And I am sure it is going to be some serious, ridiculous coin.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins is just going to further cement himself in the Sports Business Hall of Fame. Yeah. And it's going to be on and cracking. And all the stuff that we saw over the last couple years where we're struggling with Desmond Ridder, and we're struggling with Taylor Heineke, is out the door. And if I am Drake London or Kyle Pitts or Bijan Robinson or anybody else that's on that offense, I am doing cartwheels. And Raheem Morris is probably out of his skull happy. They are high-fiving everywhere in the state of Georgia and Falcons Nation. And wherever Arthur Smith right now, he must be like, really? Really?
Dang. Yeah, those receivers.
Now we're going to do it?
Those receivers got to be so happy.
And what does this mean for the Minnesota Vikings? Sitting there 11th overall. All they were saying at the combine, whenever you heard it, this being the in the ether, this does not mean they're going to lose Justin Jefferson, that Jefferson will just look around and go, I saw what happened when I didn't have Cousins last year. They're still going to give him the bag. They'll probably have more money to give him the bag. They'll give him the bag, and now they start from scratch with Kevin O'Connell. Sitting there 11th overall. Do they like J.J. McCarthy and Penix? I heard they really did at the combine. Those are the ones they liked. Now you could sit there and go, well, they're not getting the other three, Rich, sitting there at 11. That's true. Do they make a Godfather offer and go up and get one of them? I don't know. But what this also means is where the hell is Justin Fields going to wind up? Because all we were talking about at the combine was, well, Pittsburgh may take him. Nope. Well, Atlanta, that's his hometown. Remember he was on the St. Brown pod and he's just like, ah, you know what? That would be kind of crazy if I go there. Everyone's going to want tickets and whatever. Well, I mean, they're going to have to buy a ticket to see him be the road team. Question is, what road team? Who else is going to take him? Would New England flip a third-day pick? Because at this point in time, the Bears are – you could hold them to account. You could hold them to account. Would the Commanders take him?
That's,
I mean, if it's a third-day pick and then you have a second overall selection and you don't want – I mean, I don't know. You got a new coach. You got a new setup. You got a whole new situation. You're going to, what, turn down a rookie contract quarterback named Jaden Daniels or Drake May? Is that what you're going to do?
Drake?
I doubt it. Denver, would Denver be in the market? We just had Mark Schlereth on the show, and he knows what's up. He mentioned Sam Darnold as a guy to go out and get. And see,
yeah,
he's never had a shot, a legit shot, with the Jets and the Panthers being his main legit shots before he's backing up Brock Purdy. Hook him up to Sean Payton and go to work. That might be more to the tune of what the Broncos would be interested in. Because, again, you're kind of starting from scratch there. He's not on his rookie deal, but you can get him for a song. Justin Fields, you got to figure out within 2 months if you're picking up a fifth-year option, which you're definitely going to do. The Raiders have the same offensive coordinator as the Bears. That ain't happening, I don't think. Maybe I shouldn't say that ain't happening, but the Buccaneers are not in the market. Where's Justin Fields going to go? This was what the Bears didn't want. The Bears wanted him to stay put in Minnesota, and Atlanta would be like, oh, gosh, here we are.
We'll take him. Here's a second-rounder.
That's not happening.
No.
And Cousins goes to Atlanta. So, NFC South, you've got your defending champs, division champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We had Jason Light on Friday celebrating the re-signing of Mike Evans, saying the idea is to get Baker signed over the weekend. He did it. Baker signing gives an opportunity for him to take Antoine Winfield off of the franchise tag so they're not stuck with that big, huge-ass figure, can move things around. So you can sign Lavonte David was another guy they were interested in, right? They signed their kicker, Chase McLaughlin, to a three-year deal. That's another thing they wanted to do going into the season, non-playing season here. So they're checking all their boxes, man. Next up would be Tristan Wirfs, who's playing on a fifth-year option. You want to handle him. So they're having a very nice weekend in Tampa. Atlanta just made a huge move, right? You also have, in this division, the Saints, who are sitting there 14th overall. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they doing anything?
Michael Thomas is going to be gone.
You know what I mean? Like they made their move for Derek Carr last year. Do they feel like they're? I don't know. It seems like Atlanta just took a major step up. The Bucs have done that. I'm sure Saints fans. I mean, don't sleep on us. And then of course there's Carolina, where we just need to see something.
They just need players.
They need to hold up a newspaper with today's date for us to see that. They're around. Straight up.
Do we defeat Sherman?
I mean, it's straight up. No first round draft choice. I mean, coming off of that horrible season. They're digging out. They're digging out. So Atlanta, I mean, what a move.
What a move.
And Arthur Blank, he's like, screw it. Let's go. Let's pay him. Do we have the numbers yet?
Haven't seen it.
It's like a Powerball. Whatever it's going to be, the Powerball.
You think it's 4 for $200 plus?
Where every dollar's guaranteed because that's the way he does it?
Pay that man his money.
160 guaranteed? 150 guaranteed?
Let me just say one more thing about Baker Mayfield.
All right, Dan Orsini has said, look for the Vikings to go after Sam Darnold.
Okay, so now he's going to go after Sam Darnold, and then you got the Broncos are going to go after Sam Darnold's feeling good.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold's going to have a comeback around again, and Zach Wilson sitting there wondering, who's going to take me? Maybe the Broncos should do that.
Not bad.
Send him back to, you know, Mountain West country.
Man, I'm just hitting refresh. I just want to see the numbers on this.
Let me just say this about Baker Mayfield. Let me just say this about my boy. This point last year, this was the darkest moment before the dawn, right? Who's taking Baker? Who's going to want to take Baker? Who's going to take him on? And who's going to give him a shot? And where's he going to go that's worth a damn anyway? Betting on yourself. We've done that around here quite a bit, have we not?
Yes,
gents,
you better believe
every single human being in this here operation has done exactly that. And I am beyond thrilled and honored to say you believed in me while I was betting on myself to bet on yourself. And that is a powerful feeling. We feel it every day here at work. Last year, Baker Mayfield's like, I'll go to Tampa for $4 million. I'll be the guy after the guy, and the guy being Tom Brady. I'll do it. Jason Light, the general manager, said last week, guess what? Reason why it worked here is because the chip on our shoulder about us losing Brady and everybody saying we're going to suck kind of matches Baker's chip on his shoulder.
Right.
The chips matched. They balanced. And Baker went and he balled out. I understand it didn't look pretty towards the end of the season, but then they made the postseason. He bounced the Eagles. He wound up retiring Kelsey and Fletcher Cox. And then he goes to Detroit and put the scare in them too. Let's go. That's my boy. Betting on yourself. $4 million he was making going into last year. Now he's got a 3-year deal that's worth nine figures. $50 million of it guaranteed. $30 million of it is for this year. He gets $10 million next year in a roster bonus and then $10 million in an injury vesting bonus. So he's kind of have to keep proving it, which for him, he's like, I got it. But I like what the Bucks are building. Certainly since Baker v. Kirk. Twice a year, Bucks and Falcons. Let's go. Derek Carr versus Kirk. Which of those nice guys is going to be the biggest red ass that wins, right? Let's go. And then Bryce Young, let's see what you got, kid. NFC South just got much more interesting. All right. News has got to stop breaking for us to go and do Overreaction Monday, right? Are you going to get around to it?
I don't know.
Could be Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
Boom!
I mean, all the topics are from what happened over the weekend, so.
So maybe we just redo it for tomorrow?
We're doing the podcast on Wednesday.
So we could just redo it for tomorrow. Sorry to make you work twice.
I don't want to burn through the topics for the show and the pod.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I want the pod to be fresh and hot.
Is that your way of... I was literally telling you to scrap it and do it something else, but.
Everybody works so hard on these
topics.
All right,
let's take a break. We'll do it. Let's take a break.
I can feel it.
I can feel it. That's next.
We can go quick.
Okay, very good. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone, as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
We're back here on the show.
Oh,
so
man.
Listen, there's two things that you probably aren't think that's related. And we'll get to what you're saying in a second because it's related to what I'm saying right here. So word was coming out earlier in this show that the Eagles were ready to break the bank for Saquon Barkley. Connor Hughes, who works for Sportsnet New York, covers the Jets and Giants, saying he's hearing that Saquon could go for like $12 million or something like that annually. And you know that video of Michael Jackson that's been a meme everywhere that I guess
he's
a concert in Copenhagen years and years ago where he dramatically, over-dramatically, like melodramatically, had somebody who was pointing a rifle at him, like reached out and gently lowered it to just talk about how peace is easy to achieve if you have, I guess, the fortitude. I forget what the message is, whatever, but buried in the comments was a Giants fan from that tweet of reversing it, basically like shooting. Over the idea of the Eagles getting Saquon. He reversed the video.
Take me now.
That's amazing.
And it made me laugh so hard in the commercial break. I don't know why that one caught me.
Because it's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. To think of that video and then reverse it to
God, if you listen to
the Giants fan just saying, take me now. Oh my God. Because Saquon becoming an Eagle is, something that a Giants fan would have a difficult time swallowing. You know, for instance, back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. I'm sorry, Christopher. We were going to do Overreaction Monday today, but news kept breaking.
From
Russ signing with the Steelers overnight. And then things like, Josh Jacobs going from the Raiders to the Packers and Christian Wilkins going to the Raiders. And then Kirk Cousins signing with the Falcons, moving and shaking. And all this time we're like, is Saquon going to really leave the Giants? And is it possible for him to go to Philadelphia of all places? Or is Howie Roseman just jacking up the cost to try and stick the tab on the Giants? Because they're not going to just let him cross the Walt Whitman Bridge from New Jersey to Philadelphia, are they?
Down the 95.
Hit the drum.
Breaking news.
Boom! Chris Brockman, please tell me what's up. What's going on?
According to Adam Schefter and the man himself, Saquon Barkley, going to Philadelphia.
Oh. 3 years.
$37.75 million contract could be worth up to $46
million. Look at him in green.
$26 million guaranteed.
Mark, I want you to have my cheese fries.
Dude.
Sorry, TJ.
Look at Saquon Barkley.
I hate football.
Sorry, man.
Back in the state of Pennsylvania. Oh, Penn State fans or Eagles fans are losing their friggin' minds right now.
There's a lot of them.
Oh, my goodness. Saquon tweeting out two Eagles emojis. No cap there.
No cap.
Not blue hat.
Blue hat.
No blue hats there.
No blue hats.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I don't mean to rub it in, Giants fans.
Wow.
But really? Really?
That's what you get. Money
is too rich for your blood.
That is what you get.
And they got to deal with him twice a year.
That's
now?
Too rich for your blood.
They have
to. Well, they had to have Daniel Jones, Rich.
Now listen. I get it. The running back position is something you could get out of college, fresh out of college, and win championships. Right there in the state of New Jersey. Isaiah Pacheco went from Piscataway, to the victory podium to start his career. Twice in a row. No running back in the history of the NFL has ever done that. Seventh round. I get it. But I guess a game-changing running back is kind of like a lawyer. You don't want to pay him until you need him or her.
Right.
What happened? Now, the Colts at least got it right with Jonathan Taylor in the end. But what happened last year when the game was on the line, season on the line, backup quarterback, even though Gardner Minshew was a starter for 3 months? What happened when the Colts needed to get yards in that final drive against the Houston Texans? What'd they do? They basically rode Jonathan Taylor all the way to fourth down and then didn't have him out there. Oh, my goodness. This is the football version of effing around and finding out.
Okay.
Now he's in Philadelphia. I mean, and let me just say this too, because I think I saw, did Tiki say it locally? I think he did. I saw that reel over the weekend of him saying, you know, everyone roots for Saquon here. And if he goes to Houston, he goes somewhere else, he winds up on somebody else's team, they'll still root for him. But in Philadelphia, it'll be sort of like, now I got to turn my back on you. And I totally understand that. But what's he supposed to do? Not go to Philadelphia because he's loyal to the Giants? Wow. I'm sorry. I don't mean because dude is great people, great in the community, and it's totally not what the Eagles do. But the Eagles found it in their cap and plan to spend. And I don't blame him because, again, look at the San Francisco 49ers. Look at them. Getting McCaffrey, paying him that, and rewarded with a game-changing ability. Saquon, I know, has trouble staying healthy. I get it, but it's worth it. What does this mean? You just lost Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox, and here comes Howie Roseman. By the way, taking Bryce Huff from the Jets, paying him, and taking Saquon from the Giants. He just took two of the best from MetLife and said, I'll take them. Man. Howie Roseman just keeps doing it and doing it well. And I understand. The Giants will just now have to prove it. Show it. Show it that you could just do it with some talented kid out of college. They're going to have to do it now. Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, Diana Rossini saying the Eagles aren't done.
Well, when are they ever done? They're never done. They're remaking their team. You know, didn't work out last year. Now, I mean, Saquon and Jalen Hurts at the mesh point with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. And, you know, figuring out whoever is going to fill in for Kelce, that huge shoes to fill. Best of luck, and I'm sorry, Giants fans. That is an unkind turn of events. And I'm just wondering if last year, what if they paid Saquon and franchise tag Daniel Jones, and how much more different it would be? I know you like being right, Chris.
As we go out the door,
what else? By the way, Overreaction Monday, we're going to have to do it tomorrow.
Okay.
And you're going to have to redo the picks of what to throw my direction. And we're doing the podcast version of it on Wednesday when most of the stuff will be in the barn.
All right, the money for Kirk Cousins, according to Tom Pelissero.
Let me guess.
Sure.
You said 4 years, $200 million?
That's what I thought, yeah.
And that would be $50 million per?
Yep.
It does start. The annual starts with a five?
Does not.
Does not.
$4,180 for Kirk. $50 million signing bonus. $100 million guaranteed. $90 million in the first 2 years. Another $10 million in 2026.
Okay. So it's kind of a two-year deal?
Kind of a two-year.
$45 million. Yeah. Okay. And at age 35, and we'll see what you look like at age 38.
Yeah. 2 years, $100 million, and then we'll see what after that.
The guy drafted in the same draft as RG3 by the same team.
Yep.
As RG3. is going to play deep into his 30s with some of the richest contract figures year in and year out, over and over and over again. It is an unbelievable, you know, Kaiser Soze-like maneuver. I mean, it is unbelievable. And now it's time to win. And he can. This team has got the ability to win. Raheem Morris coming to town and bringing a whole new way of looking at things. And Kirk Cousins is his quarterback. And congratulations to him. That's what you need. You need to have a quarterback who can wing it in this quarterback-driven league. Unbelievable. Has he made $1 billion in his career?
It's close.
Is he closing in
He's
on that?
Close. He's almost at 350, which is a lot.
Okay, well then, it feels like a billion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's having a worse day, Vikings fans or Giants fans?
Oh, Giants fans, please. Please.
Yeah, it's a running back, though. Your quarterback.
Dude, Saquon is like a heart and soul of this team that has been absolutely soulless for a decade plus, with the exception of that one burst of unexpected activity and success. Ever since, you know, Odell and the Giants went on that boat trip before going to Green Bay and losing, it was a very dark time until that one playoff season with that one playoff win with Daniel Jones and Saquon. And Saquon's like, pay me like Christian McCaffrey. And the answer was no. We'll franchise tag you and then we'll let you walk to Philadelphia.
I guess going to Philadelphia makes
Whereas the Vikings yeah. fans, you know, kind of enjoyed Kirk Cousins' time there and had fun with him. But I have a feeling Saquon was more plugged into the zeitgeist of the fan base maybe than Kirk. And they'll figure it out from there. And I think fans have a more of a trust level in their coach in their front office than the Giants fans currently do of theirs. Wow. What a day.
Love it.
Boom. Thank you very much. That'll wrap it up for this Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Can't wait to see what Tuesday brings.
Movies, TV shows, books, podcasts, and more. It's What Women Binge with Melissa Joan Hart and her friend Amanda Lee.
We have Lauren Bosworth with us.
Yay!
The Hills. So what is like your number one question from fans?
The primary question I still get asked was, "What is it real?" In 2024, to me, is a surprising question to get because I feel like everybody has been through the reality TV gauntlet at this point.
What Women Binge, wherever you listen.